raise your hand, please.
Next case on our calendar is 96-1539, Lucas County Commissioners versus Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. Mr. Renazzi.
Honorable Chief Justice, Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court, Counsel, may it please the Court. I'd like to start by reserving the final 5 minutes of my argument for rebuttal. My name is Andy Renazzi, and I appear in front of you today on behalf of Lucas County Commissioners in the matter before you today of Lucas County Commissioners versus the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. This is a matter of first impression for this Court. The reason that this Court should remand this matter back to the PUCO for a hearing is very simple. The PUCO erred when dismissing plaintiff's complaint for failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted. The reason they erred is also very simple. They misapplied the KECO case, as this matter is not a matter of retroactive rate making or a collateral attack on a lawful rate which no longer exists.
Well, it may not be a brother, but it sure is a cousin, isn't it? Of KECO? And don't we really have to overrule KECO to hold for you?
No, you don't, Your Honor. In KECO, in all cases involving rate, what was being disputed there was the actual rate charge. Here, even according to the appellee's brief, this is not a rate. This is a weather normalization adjustment program. It is a mechanism for collection of the fixed cost of your gas bill.
But the theory is for refunds that there should be a revenue stream. That was why KECO, the only part of the underlying reason for deciding KECO the way it was decided. There's no revenue stream here to reimburse.
Well,
you know what? It didn't occur to me till right this moment. I'm a little more sensitive these days. I'll bet I paid this rate.
You did, Your Honor.
I think I'll be excused.
This matter is not about a rate. It's a collection mechanism. And pursuant to our complaint, in that complaint it's alleged that this collection mechanism was proposed knowing full well that it would be a warmer than normal winter. And to understand this case, the weather normalization program must be explained. It was a program designed to not create 12-level payments, gas payments, but rather alleviate the burden on the consumer as well as guarantee cash flow supply to Columbia Gas during warmer weather. The consumer would be alleviated of its fixed costs should the weather turn colder than normal and his gas volume go up. Columbia Gas would be guaranteed cash flow should it be warmer than normal, and the fixed cost would then be increased. After this plan was put in place in November of 95, it was prematurely aborted in February of 96 as a result of a public outcry because it was warmer than normal, and yet gas bills were not going down. Now, the practical result of that abortion was that the Columbia Gas got to keep over $8.5 million of fronted costs by the Ohio consumer that they had no chance to recoup when the weather got colder than normal. In fact, their complaints alleged that Columbia Gas knew all along it was going to be a warmer than normal winter, and they specifically scheduled this program to go into place for the 5 months of that warm winter, knowing full well that the Ohio consumer would never recoup the fronted costs that would come in place. Knowing that, this plan was ill-fated, ill-conceived, fraudulent scheme, and the PUCO, when they applied the KECO case, misapplied it. This is not a rate. This is a collection method. And as a result, this matter should go back to the PUCO for a hearing on its merits. There is no case law out there that says you cannot attack a collection mechanism when its inception and its purpose was to bill from the gas consumer more than $8.5 million.
Well,
That's what I'm intrigued by, your use of harsh language. You just used the term "dick." Could you explain that to me?
Well, Your Honor, I guess to explain it is, this is a matter of extreme importance. And when $8.5 million are collected from a group of consumers to which no benefit is received by a public utility, that public utility should have to explain its actions. And when the complaint was filed, they did not come forward and explain their actions. Rather, the PUCO, like the fox guarding the hen house, simply dismissed the case.
Who's the fox here? PUCO?
Yeah, Your Honor,
The PUCO, the Public Utilities Commission, is a fox guarding the hen house?
Your Honor, I guess what I'm saying is that when Lucas County filed its complaint to get a hearing on the merits, to bring Columbia Gas to explain its actions in both conceiving the program when they forecasted a warm winter and in terminating the program when they were $8.5 million in the black of customers' money, to which no benefit was given, that matter was simply dismissed as a result of the application or misapplication of the Keiko case.
Oh, but that's a legal issue, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, there's legitimate difference of opinion about the authority of the commission based upon our opinions, isn't there?
Exactly, Your Honor.
And they commissioned to give them their due, maybe if they're right or wrong, at least they made a decision that they thought complied with what this court had told them the law is.
Yes, Your Honor. We come to
doesn't sound like a fox to me. You might want to, you know, keep your comments to the issues in the case. Those kind of statements obviously take us off track, and I just wondered what your analogy was.
Well, Your Honor, I guess we're looking to this court as the last bastion for protection for those consumers who have fronted $8.5 million of costs.
Okay, your rhetoric so far, I'm interested. We are getting off the subject, but this is like a political speech instead of a legal argument that we're hearing up here this morning. Let's go back to the weather. Is the premise that you're operating on that one can know in advance what the winter is going to be like weather-wise? I mean, is that a key premise to your legal argument here?
Your Honor, it's alleged in our complaint that Columbia Gas has forecasting abilities. It's also alleged in our complaint.
I watch a lot of weathermen who supposedly have forecasting abilities. I'm okay based on that, and I'm frequently disappointed. Are we supposed to take some sort of legal notice that they can know what the winter was going to be like?
Your Honor, I would say that you can forecast that we have found out or alleged in our complaint that Columbia Gas can forecast a warmer than normal winter. This program was put forth according to our complaint, which the PUCO had to accept as true when dismissing it without hearing, that this weather normalization program was put forth specifically designed to keep the cash flow up during what was going to be a winter where little gas was used or less than normal gas was used, affecting the cash flow of Columbia Gas. Our complaint then alleges that as a result of the implementation of this program and a result of the warm winter, which did come to pass, that the gas bills did not go down. In fact, they went up as a result of the application of this WNA, or Weather Normalization Adjustment Program.
Let's change the facts a little. Let's say they forecast a warm winter. Let's say they could do that, according to your theory, which I'm interesting. But let's say they could forecast a warm winter. They did. They based the rates on it. And all of a sudden, we had a major blizzard sweep out of Canada, plunge us into below-degree weather, and they lost it. The consumer came out ahead. Would we be arguing now that the consumer ought to be paying some extra because the PUCO lost money?
Well, I think putting the consumer in the same position as Columbia Gas is inappropriate here. The consumer consumer was not, the consumer was not going to the PUCO recommending the, the.
So the PUCO paid if they guess wrong in their benefit, but they don't get any benefit if they guess wrong and it hurts them.
Well, now, now when you take our complaint at face value, that there was some, and I know it's a harsh word, but there was some calculation in this plan.
So isn't that the premise of the way the law and the PUCO interpreted it, is sometimes you lose, sometimes you win, and because there's so many factors we can't predict, we're not going to get into the habit of giving money back, giving money forward, and adjusting. We're going to leave the parties where they stand and move forward on it.
Your Honor, with regards to a rate, I fully agree with that. And a rate charge for service rendered, when determined that rate may have been excessive, that's a different situation than what we have here. Here we have money collected or fronted to some extent under a program which we believe was designed specifically to do that. To have the consumer here is paying for something they didn't get. And in a normal rate case, they're arguing about the price of something that they did get. And that's how we distinguish those situations.
Mr. Renazzi, do you know, you may not know the answer to the question, but do you know if in the next application that, that Columbia would make to the Public Utilities Commission for a rate increase, whether this benefit, I assume this $8 million revenue source to them shows up someplace, and I assume that it then gets factored in. Do you know whether that's the case or not?
I'm not sure, Your Honor, that may in fact be the case, but clearly we would like our day in court, our day in front of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio to determine what amounts were collected in excess. They've admitted $3.5 million, we've alleged $8.5 million, and we'd like to determine where that money went or how it was refunded or where it was credited. But we were denied that chance from the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio misapplied the CACO case. And clearly, if you take the complaint at its face value, which it alleges that this weather normalization program was ill-conceived with direct knowledge, or at least forecasting knowledge, that the winter is going to be warmer than normal. It was designed to collect the monies during the winter, from November to April. Those cover all the winter months. And if the gas usage from winter to April is going to be lower than normal, they would have collected clearly more costs than they would have given the consumer a chance to recoup, with no intention of allowing that consumer to recoup it. Then combine that with the fact that in February or January of 1996, in February of 1996, they prematurely dismantled the program, giving the weather no opportunity to get colder than normal, giving the consumer no opportunity to recoup that money which he had essentially funded to Columbia, he or she had essentially funded to Columbia.
Your argument there is, it seems to be that at least if Columbia is going to have a program like this, they ought to let it run long enough so that there's a chance that the customers get their due, get service for the money they paid. Is that essentially that?
Yes, Your Honor. The plan is, I guess in a vacuum, should at least be a 50-50 proposition, that the consumer would have a 50-50 shot of making money, that Columbia Gas had a 50-50 shot.
But if you've already claimed that they predicted a warmer than winter, warmer than normal winter, and they still keep collecting money for February, March, and April, you'd be here arguing they should pay more money back.
Well, Your Honor, I was just about to explain that there were two parts to our complaint with the program. One, it was conceived with knowledge that there probably wouldn't be a 50-50 shot. And two, it was terminated.
You lost me on that. You're saying, A, it would be warmer, now you're saying it's 50-50.
Well,
I don't understand.
Okay, I don't want to confuse Your Honor. I guess our argument is, one, it was conceived with knowledge it would be warmer than normal winter, and that the consumer really wouldn't have any chance to recoup its cost. The second thing that was done is that it was terminated midstream when they knew that they had collected more money than they were going to distribute it back.
And they didn't want to keep collecting more.
Well, there was a...
Is that an argument you can make?
Your Honor, I guess at that point in time, the public outcry became such that they decided to keep their $8.5 million and terminate the program. Again, all these facts could come out, and we would welcome the opportunity to have them come out in front of the Public Utilities Commission. We're not arguing to this court for any financial relief. We're arguing to this court to get our day in court.
And you're saying the consumer was never credited with any excess that may have been collected by the company?
Not to the amount that was collected.
No, but what does that mean?
There's a complaint and there's an answer. Even by the answer, Columbia Gas has admitted that there were $3.5 million in excess of the amount that was distributed.
So they collected $3.5 million more than they should have and didn't give it back?
Right. According to the pleadings filed in front of the PUCO. However, all of these facts, we welcome the opportunity to have all these facts come out and open
hearing. Did they factor anything into rebates to the consumer?
Your Honor, that's essentially what this case is about. We've offered both a chance to have...
That's what you want to find out?
Exactly. We just want our day in court. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Renazzi. Ms. Blair.
May it please the court. I'd like to reserve any remaining time at the end of my argument for Steve Seipel, who's here on behalf of Columbia Gas for Ohio.
You need to watch your time there to give him some time.
I'd like to first clear up some of the misconceptions that Lucas County has had. This WNA was not aborted. It was modified. On February 8, 1995, because of public outcry, the program was modified. The consumers from February to the end of the program in April received only the benefits of the WNA program. There were no more upwards adjustments. If the weather was colder than normal, they would receive the benefit of that. The basis of this appeal is a complaint filed with the commission under 490526 by Lucas County. Under that statute, they must state reasonable grounds for a complaint. No such reasonable grounds for a complaint were stated by Lucas County.
Well, what's cheating the consumer out of $8.5 million? What is that? Nothing?
I don't believe that they ever accused.
It sounds like they alleged that this was a scheme of some type that was designed to get money in when money wasn't supposed to be coming in. It sounds like something that may be worthy of being looked into, don't you think?
I think you have to look at the complaint that was before the commission.
All right,
there was
tell me what the complaint said.
The complaint simply addressed the WNA as being unreasonable. There were no facts stated that attacked the commission's setting of the rate. There was nothing stated that said Columbia improperly collected the rate. There was just an allegation with no facts to back it up. He spoke of the forecasting report. That's a long-term forecasting report that all of the parties to this stipulation. The WNA was a result of an overall stipulation.
Is he in a position to produce facts that would satisfy you? Doesn't the company have all that information? How can the person filing the complaint state enough facts to you to justify the complaint when most of that information he's not privy to?
What I'm saying is that he must state some grounds whatsoever besides simply calling it unreasonable or unjust. He has spoken about fraud here, but there was no allegation of fraud in the complaint.
Would you have looked into it if he had said that this is being fraudulently collected?
If there was some factual allegations that alleged that it was fraudulently collected, those were not made in the complaint.
What would he have to state to back up that fraudulent claim?
I believe that he would have to state that the rate was collected not pursuant to a commission order, or that it was not collected pursuant to the stipulation that was agreed upon before the parties. There was no allegation of that made. There were no reasonable grounds stated.
So as far as you're concerned, he didn't meet the threshold to get into the PUCO to have them at least take a look at it.
Yes, and furthermore, what they did request and what their application for rehearing focused on was a refund of $8.5 million. Now, initially they called it a refund, they called it a prospective rate balancing, a rate credit. The substance of the relief is the same. They're looking for restitution of those funds of a rate that is no longer in effect.
And the commission has no jurisdiction to achieve that, period?
The commission has no authority to order a refund. In the 1957 KECO case, which is on point, there was an increased rate collected, and it was later overturned by the Supreme Court. The appellee in that case sought a restitution in their county for those increased rates. The Supreme Court said those rates were lawfully collected. Under 395.32, the utility is required to collect those rates, and they are not subject to refund.
I'm sorry, I'm probably off the base here. I thought we were here because you didn't give him a hearing.
But the application for rehearing...
No, is that what we're here about?
And also,
he said that he asked for a hearing, and you said no, and isn't that why he's here? That he wants us to order you to have a hearing? Isn't that the subject matter?
Yes, and there were no reasonable grounds for the complaint.
That's what I thought
stated.
We were here on.
There was also a motion...
What does all this other have to do with not giving him a hearing?
Well, that's what they have focused on. They have focused their relief, they have focused their complaint on relief. Their application for rehearing has requested a refund. And also there was a motion to dismiss file this complaint. And we looked at it as if all the factual allegations were true. Is there any relief that can be granted? The commission looked at KECO. They determined there was no relief that could be granted in this case.
Is this a new or unique type of area that maybe isn't covered by KECO?
No, I don't believe so.
He says it's a rate setting. I mean, not rate setting, he said it was a rate adjustment. It sounds like something new that we haven't seen before, a rate adjustment.
What Lucas County says, these aren't actual rates. These were actual rates that were in effect from December 1994 through April of 1995. They were rates that were collected pursuant to commission order. This WNA tariff was a part of the stipulation that was provided to the commission.
Now, how do you... Go ahead.
You state that the complaint doesn't any reasons to have granted a hearing. What, in your opinion, would have been required by Lucas County to would make the complaint sufficient? I'm looking at the complaint, and it has extensive allegations in it. What, in your opinion, should the complaint have contained?
The complaint should have contained something from the commission order that says that the rate that was collected was not, as I was discussing earlier, the rate that was a part of the commission order, or something that said that pursuant to certain case law or a statute, the rate was improperly collected or the rate was improperly set.
Isn't it sufficient when they talk about the WNA was a pilot program that it was improperly put into effect? Wasn't that sufficient? Didn't that raise sufficient grounds?
No, that's simply an allegation with no facts to back it up, such as what I've discussed earlier, that there was anything that violated the law or anything that set reasonable grounds to make the commission.
But wouldn't that be what the hearing would be all about, is to get to these facts, that you don't have to allege everything, or perhaps do you have to allege everything in a complaint?
No, I don't believe that you have to allege everything in a complaint. I think only reasonable grounds need to be found. The commission found reasonable grounds were not stated. And furthermore, if you looked at the relief that was requested, we're clearly not allowed by KECO to grant a refund of that money.
Counsel, do I understand correctly that given the factual facts in place at the time, the way this program was set up, the way it unfolded, the commission's position is there are no set of facts that occurred that actually unfolded that would give the county any right to come before the commission and get a hearing. There is no complaint that they could file that would get them to a hearing.
I don't think the commission is stating that there is no complaint that could be filed if they make actual allegations and state a reasonable ground.
No, given the facts that occurred, in other words, no truthful complaint that they could file, no valid complaint that they could file that would get them to a hearing. If this was in place, it had been adopted, they had what, participated in negotiating this?
No.
They had not participated in negotiating this. As a matter of fact, this rate was out in effect 8 months before they filed their complaint. There was notice given in the Lucas County papers. The city of Toledo participated in this. It was a part of the stipulation. The Office of Consumers Counsel, the statutory representative, was a part of the stipulation.
A follow-up to that is, how do you melt down this? I mean, they stopped it because of the outcry. How do you do that without a hearing?
What that was they parted into a stipulation, an agreement between the parties. All of the parties, including Columbia, who was the one that was agreeing to not take the upward adjustment, agreed to that. And that was put before the commission.
It's a change of rate. And that's, isn't that the whole point, that when there's a rate is agreed to and it stays in place until there's a change of rate. And this change occurs in the nature of the change of rate. So that's where it stands.
Yes, but it wasn't an action taken by the commission itself. It was all the signatory parties, all the parties that were of interest.
But nevertheless, the rate changed. That was the new rate, which was giving up the...
There was no more upward adjustment of that rate if there were warmer weather.
Which
they only received the benefit of that.
It modified the former rate then.
It was modified, yes.
Why should we not apply our decision in Columbus and Southern and to consider the commission's first original order as a revenue recovery or a true up device and apply that here?
The Columbus Southern Power case, I don't think is on point. There was a specific revenue that was identified that was to be recovered. It was simply deferred. There were no deferred expenses or specific revenues that were set later. That was part of the original rate. In this case, it was the rate itself. There were no specific revenues that were to be recovered at a later date. It makes sense not to allow an attack on a rate that is no longer in effect. You cannot hold a utility company hostage to attack on rates that have gone out of effect 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It would open them to attack. There would be no finality. This leads to certainty in rate making. What the commission did in this case was look at the complaint. No reasonable grounds were stated. They granted Columbia's motion to dismiss. And furthermore, the request for the refund is not allowed. This court said that in the 1957 Kito case. Rates that have been lawfully collected are not to be refunded. The commission respectfully requests that you affirm the decision below.
Thank you, Ms. Baer. Mr. Seipel.
May it please the court, I'm representing intervening out the lead Columbia Gas and Fire. I want to take exception with one point made by opposing counsel, and that is this is not a case of first impression. Indeed, the court has considered this issue before. This case is an all-fours KECO case. The KECO case, while it dealt specifically with refunds, talked about restitution in general. And it said retroactive rate making not permitted in Ohio, and there is the common law remedy of restitution has been replaced by the General Assembly. That restitution spoken of in the KECO case applies to things other than refunds. What the appellant here has done is trying to say, well, we're not talking about a refund, we're going to call it something else. We're going to call it prospective balancing. But it's still restitution. They still want money returned that was collected under a rate that's no longer in existence. This court did not countenance that request. It's still restitution, and it's still the KECO case revisited. The appellant has not requested that KECO be overruled, and in fact, they were very careful in their pleadings before the commission
not to take exception with the Kiko case that applied to refunds. Their entire argument is kind of send us back that they're calling their remedy something else, but it really is still restitution. They've also said that the Columbus Southern Power case gives them authority, or gives the commission authority, to grant the remedy which they seek. And as was just discussed, I do not think that is correct. In the Columbus Southern case, the commission specifically authorized recovery of certain revenues. But then the commission went on to say, utility, you may not recover that all up front. We are going to phase that right now. This court then overruled the phasing program and allowed the utility to collect the rates that the commission had originally authorized. At no point in the procuring opinion did this court ever acknowledge that that was retroactive rate making, which is what the appellant, I think, would have you believe. This court was careful to say that that was not retroactive rate making, but instead, the court was only going to order the commission to allow the utility the rates which it had originally been entitled to. The Kiko case makes it clear.
Well, if we apply that rationale here, the company wasn't entitled, theoretically, to several million dollars of rates. Right?
I'm afraid I don't follow the line of your question.
Well, if we said in Columbus and Southern, as you just said, that the company could not recover what it was not entitled to, why doesn't that apply here?
Well, in this case, the commission found that the weather normalization adjustment was part of a rate that was to be applied by the company on a prospective basis. And the company started applying it from the date authorized by the commission prospectively. The rate was intended to apply only for a 5-month period. It was a pilot program. It ran for that 5 months. And after the expiration of the program, the appellant now seeks to obtain a refund of those amounts. Under the Kiko case, that type of retroactive rate making is not permissible. If the reasonable grounds for complaint requirement that's contained in revised code 49.05.26 is to have any meaning at all, the commission must be able to dismiss complaints for which it lawfully cannot order a remedy. And that's the situation here. Under the Kiko case, the commission cannot lawfully order a remedy. The commission, therefore, dismissed the complaint and its order should be approved.
Thank you, Mr. Seipel. Mr. Renazzi, you've used your time, but take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess to further distinguish KECO and the other case which followed KECO is to understand that in KECO, you receive a good or service for every amount you pay. In this case, and why it is a case of first impression in front of this court, is the costs were front. There was no corresponding service or goods provided to the Ohio consumer. They were shorted out $8.5 million, and certainly we are entitled to a hearing in front of the PUCO to determine the merits of that complaint, which has extensive allegations. I want to thank this court for its time.
Thank you. Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.